From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Just start small, like go into your bathroom, put on your tennis shoes, tie it if you can get over the bulge, tie it, and then stand up, take your breath, and take off your tennis shoes. That's it, you're done. Really, just start small. Realize that the tennis shoes will not kill you. It's like, whoa, these things don't kill me, cool. And then within like a week or two, you will make it to the front door, I promise.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message entitled, A Life Essential, Giving, where Pastor Wayne was showing us that we are never more like Christ than we are when we give. Today, he'll show us that if you are not real comfortable giving a lot, well, just start small. Start small, but start now. You may be surprised how good it feels. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, A Life Essential, Giving.
Here it is. I want to give you three things to help you to control that so that God can entrust to us true riches. This is a life essential. Would you write down number one, choose to be a people of the tithe, T-I-T-H-E, choose to be a people of the tithe. Now the word tithe means a tenth or the first tenth, but it's not just about money. Mm-mm. Let's read what it says here in the book of Deuteronomy as to the purpose of the tithe. Let's read it, go. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to fear the Lord your God. Yeah, in other words, when you fear the Lord, you put him first. Not second, not third. Fear is the topmost respect given to fill in the blank. And so to God. So you put God first. In other words, being a people of the tithe includes money, but it's not exclusively or exhaustively about money. It's about being a people of the tithe is a full gamut of life where you put God first in. Real simple. Whatever you want God to bless, put him first in. Honor him first. Honor his ways. Honor his wishes. And God promises to bless. Whatever you want God to bless, put him first in. For example, you want God to bless your dating relationship? Put him first in your dating. You want God to bless your marriage? Put him first in your marriage. You want God to bless your business? Put him first in your business. You want God to bless your finances? Put him first in your finances. You choose to be a people of the tithe. And that's what God's asked us to do. By the way, you come from a huge, long lineage of the best givers in the world. You know that? I've checked your family history. I've gone on the internet, you know, the genealogy things. I've checked your family, your family, your family. I've checked your families. You come from a line of great givers. Great givers. You take a look at Abraham and Isaac and David and Solomon. Oh, you say, those aren't my relatives. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Every single one of you here is adopted. Yeah. Yeah, you're adopted. Yeah, you see, in Romans and in Galatians, the Bible says we have been adopted into the family of God. Yeah, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joshua, those are your relatives. That's your family. And way back in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 19, God says to the children of Israel, when you harvest your field, your wheat, your barley, your grain, you are to, on purpose, intentionally, not harvest the corners. You leave them. And when you get stalks of grain, intentionally leave some behind. Why? So that the poor can come, and here's the word, glean for themselves. And when they stand there with a few stalks full or baskets full of grain, they look up to heaven and say, thank you, God, for the people of God that you have allowed for them to give gifts to us so that we can sustain our families. They give praise to God for the people who are called by his name. They were givers. But more than just giving, it was in order that eternal change happen in people's lives. It was a means to, not an end in itself. Later on, they would actually have a thing called the Lord's Acre. This is continuing in the agricultural society. When people would have like a 10 acres of orange groves, they would take 1 acre and call it the Lord's acre. So all that would come off of that crop would be then given to God for the expansion of the gospel and to help the poor. That was called the Lord's acre, 1 out of every 10. Then we went from the agricultural society to the industrial society, where you wouldn't have acres necessarily of fruit trees or whatever. You would have a salary check. And people still take a tenth of that and give it to the expansion of the gospel and to help the poor. You come from a long history, a lineage of your family of givers. Now, there's a reason for that, because God wants to pour His divine gifts onto this family through which the world can be redeemed and helped. And so the way we prepare our hearts for those gifts is to break out an outlet so that life will come through us and will be a conduit rather than a cul-de-sac. And Malachi says, by the way, this is not your last tenth. It's not your leftovers. It's your first tenth. Don't give God leftovers. No, that doesn't do anything good for our heart. No, God is saying that the way you steward this is real important. So it's the first tenth. It's kind of like the little boy that the mother gave him 2 quarters. And she said, if you go to Sunday school, Tony, and you give 1 quarter in the offering in your Sunday school, why, you can take the 2nd quarter, and on your way home, you can buy some candy. Woo-hoo, he said. Woo, he put his quarters in his pocket and was jingling them as he skipped down the road to Sunday school. And because of his jingling, one of them just, boop, came out of his pocket, ding, 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 on the asphalt, right through a manhole with a grating on top of it. 4 feet below, this quarter lays on the muddy bottom. He reached his hand down as far as he could to try and reach it, and it was still out of his reach. And then with big tears in his eyes, he looked up to heaven and he said, oh God, there went your quarter. It's not the last tenth, it's the first tenth. And Malachi says, if you will be a giver, God says, I tell you what, test me on this and watch if I will not open up the windows of heaven, because that's where the true gifts will come from, and pour out for you a blessing that you won't even be able to contain, because it's not for you. It's to overflow and to go to the society around you. That's the bottom line. I don't want you to go away from this message and say Wayne talked about giving. It really is more than that. It's about Wayne talking about the gifts that God wants to entrust to us by which our nation, our cities will be redeemed. It's the influence. It's that irresistible influence that God wants to give to us. But we prepare our hearts for that through the way that we handle money. And you can never outgive the Lord. I mean, I've tried it. You cannot outgive the Lord. He will always give you back so much. I remember Anna and I have given away about 4 of our cars, because instead of trading them in, a lot of times we'll look for someone, a youth pastor, someone that needs a car, a single mom, and we'll give them a car. And the first one we gave away, I said, honey, I'm going to give this. There's a youth pastor that needs a car. And she said, well, how much is it worth? I said, well, Kelly Blue Book says this car is worth $4,000. She said, well, trade it in and get $4,000. I said, well, God will give it back to us. Let's just give it to this guy. He needs a car. She said, for $4,000, he can have the car. I said, no, let's just give it to him. So we decided, yeah, let's do it. We gave it to him. And for the next 3 months, I kept a detailed account of money that would come into my checkbook or through the mail or whatever, unsolicited, unexpected monies. I just wanted to see what would come in. Because the Bible says in Malachi, test me on this. Only time God says to test him. Test me on this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. So we gave this car away, and I think I still have the records today, but I kept an account of all the monies that came in unsolicited. Money would start coming in through the mail for this and for that, a refund that I never thought we would get. And then let me tell you one, this is amazing. Some guy sends me a check in the mail, unbeknownst to me, and I don't even remember this, but he writes a letter and says, and he gives me a check for quite a bit of money. And he said, 27, this is a true story, 27 years ago, you sang for my wedding. I was flipping through our wedding album and saw you there playing, and I recalled we hadn't given you any honorarium for that. So please find and close this check for that honorarium plus all the interest it would have accrued. I looked at that and thought, whoa. I thought, man, I gotta sing at more weddings. Now this is honest. After three months, we had received from unsolicited avenues, we received $9,800. Isn't that amazing? And my wife looked at me and said, what else can we give away? I said, we got three kids, give them away. You can't outgive the Lord. Giving is really a life essential because it breaks out a little thing and it starts the life going. And God says, now I can flow stuff through. You watch what I can do. He said, well, where do I start? Because I can't go from like 0 to 60, you know, to start on this 10th thing. Here's what I say. And this is what I did. The way to start is this. Here's number two. Start small, but start now. Start small, but start now. Because we say, okay, giving is really an essential because it's about life. It's not about giving. It's about God infusing us with life. It's how God opens the windows of heaven and gives us true riches. But where do I start? Because I'm not used to this. Start small, but start what? Now. Let's read what Ecclesiastes 5 says. Go. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it. Don't delay in following through. So start now. Well, like how? Like when you go to 7-Eleven and you buy coffee or something, you get 7 cents change, and there's a cerebral palsy bottle or bucket to give. Give the 7 cents change over there. How many of us? No way, I need that baby. Just because you think if all of us just gave towards research like that, do you know how much further we would be? We just got to give. Just be a part. Start small, but start now. People say that about exercise. They say, you know, Wayne, you say we should exercise, but man, I'm not used to going like to a gym for an hour and a half. Whoo, man, I can't do that. I said, no, don't start there. Just start small. Like go into your bathroom, put on your tennis shoes, tie it if you can get over the bulge, tie it, and then stand up, take your breath, and take off your tennis shoes. That's it, you're done. Really. Just start small. Realize that the tennis shoes will not kill you. It's like, whoa, these things don't kill me. Cool. And then the next day, put on your tennis shoes and some shorts and then take them off again, put them back. Within like a week or two, you will make it to the front door, I promise. Really? Yeah, like the third day, put on your stuff, walk around the bed, and then take them off again. By the second month, you'll be at the gym. No, you won't be working out. Just go there and smell it and then go home. But after a while, you'll be working out with the best of them. So you start small, but start what?
Now.
Start now. Start now. Every single one of us can do that. Start now. I remember I was downtown, and I remember exactly where it was, too. It's on Hotel Street going past this bus stop, and I walked by this homeless guy that was just kind of collecting some money and change. Hey, you got any change? Hey, you got any change? And he asked me, hey, you got any change? And I smiled, and I kept going. So the Lord said, give him a couple of bucks. And this is my rationale. No way. You'll buy beer. That's what you buy. I give him $2. You'll buy beer. And this is what the Lord said. He said, then go buy him breakfast. And this is what I said. No way, that's like $5. Can you believe that? It's like God said to me, so it's not about his homelessness. It's not about his habit. It's about your greed. You use those things as nice rationale to defend your greed and religiously excuse you. No more of that. And I realized that I had dammed up the Dead Sea and I wanted God to give without opening up anything. Start small, but start now. And you'll be surprised, even with a little thing, as you give, the waters will open it up even more. But here's the most important bottom line reason to give. Would you write down number 3? Desire God's greatest gift. gifts. Desire God's greatest gifts. Let's read again Luke 16:11 to remind us. Read it with me. Go. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? The true riches. Folks, please listen. If God stopped giving us gifts to this church to influence lives, our children's lives, our community's lives, our parents' lives, if God does not give us those gifts to influence people for eternity that'll really help their lives, if God stopped that to this church, we might as well shut the shades and close up shop. Because the Bible says, without Him, we can do nothing. We're done. I don't want this to become just a listening center for Christians. It has to be a launching pad for disciples. And so if God doesn't give us those gifts, we shut shop. So we say, Lord, then how can we keep those gifts coming? Then we want to be people that break out an outlet so that we give because we need those gifts coming. But here's the best reason why we ask God for these gifts and prepare our hearts through giving. Here's the reason. The most classic scripture of all, John 3:16, says this. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave all that He had. In other words, God bankrupted heaven, gave all that He had in the person of Jesus Christ to be sacrificed on the hill called Calvary so that you and I will have redemption and our lives would change for an eternity. God gave. Why? So that something eternal could take place. And here's the cool thing. The reason I want to learn to give is not so I can get, because you can hear messages like, give a penny and God will give you 100. So therefore, give $100. God will give you 1,000. No, every one of you should be given $1,000 because you can get more. Ooh, okay, take this then, you know. But the motive is wrong. It's still wrong. It's still what I can get. Listen, here's the real motive to give. It's not because of what I can get, but more so because of what I can become. Would you write that in your notes? To become more like Him. God loved the world so much that He's a giver. Do you know that we serve a God who gives? How many of you are glad we serve a giving God? And the more I give, the more I become like Him. My heart becomes His heart. There's something that transforms. Sometimes I'll make a face or gesture. And my dad has passed away, but Anna knew my dad when he was alive. And she'll look at me when I make a certain facial expression. And she'll laugh and she'll say, when you do that, you look just like your father. My dad was a good-looking guy. And so, but you know, it's funny. It's sort of like this. When we are people who give with right motives, we just want to give. It's like all of heaven stops and says, when you do that, you look just like your father. Because you see, we don't need the world to see us. We need the world to see the Father. But if we keep everything we get and we use God for us, then they'll see us more than anything else. And they see that we use religious stuff to get. And you see that all the time on television. But the real reason and motive is not so that what we can get, but what we can become. Let me finish with this story that I told a long time ago, but please allow me to do it again. It was when I was in Hilo, there was an elder in a church that took me out to lunch every Tuesday. And he'd always pay for the lunch. And I was this young 30-year-old pastor. So whenever I'd get anything free, it's like, praise the Lord. I'll go to lunch with this guy. And so I'd go to lunch with him. And every week for, you know, week after week, month after month, he'd pay. And I'd say, hey, thank you for paying. He said, no, it's my ministry. Well, I wanted to, you know, like help his ministry. And encourage him to keep obedient to God. So I'd say yes to lunch every week. And I would allow him to minister to me by buying the lunch. It was quite a nice thing, you know. And so I would do this like maybe 2-3 years, 70, 80 times. I just let him minister to me by buying lunch. Well, after about 3 years or so, this went on for a while, he just would buy lunch for me. After a while, my heart's going, oh, come on, I need to start paying, you know. And I had some money. I just got paid. So I said to him one day, Gene, let me pay for the lunch today. He said, no, I want to pay for it. It's my ministry. I said, yeah, but you've been paying for so long. Let me pay for it. He said, no. I said, oh, thanks, but let me pay one of these times. The next week, I come in and I try to get the ticket. And he says, no, I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it. I said, come on, Gene. I really want to start paying for this. He said, no, really. Well, I go home and I'm starting to think about this all week. I think, I got to start paying for this. It's been like 3 years he's been paying for this, my lunch. And so I start thinking, how am I going to do this? So the next Tuesday, I get there to the booth and halfway through, I say, hey, I got to use the restroom. And I walk to the waitress instead and I say, this time when the bill comes to the table, bring it to me. She said, Gene warned me that you might try that. So he instructed that I should not do that. I thought, oh, come on. So I slide back in the booth. I said, come on, Gene, let me pay for this. He said, no, I'm going to pay for this. That next week, I went straight to the waitress before I even sat down, took my credit card out, and I said, run this on my credit card before you even bring the ticket to the booth. She said, Gene said you might try that. So she pulls out his credit card. So he gave me his in advance. No. So I walked over to the booth. I sit down. Gene, I said, come on, you got to let me pay for this. I'm starting to have nightmares about paying for lunch. He said, no, I'm going to pay for it. I said, Gene, I yearn to pay for the lunch. It's not like I have to. I yearn to pay for it. He said, no, I'm going to pay for it. I said, I dream about it. I desire, I hunger to pay for this lunch. He said, no, I'm going to pay for it. Till this day, I've never been able to pay for a lunch for it. I'll never pay it back. And, you know, I think, isn't this something, how my heart changed radically from the beginning, like, all right, give me, baby, to like, I desire to pay for this. I want to pay for it. What happened? How the change? Someone in the middle, did they reprimand me for not paying? Reprove me for not paying? Rebuke me? No. Was it a program? No. Was it something I'm supposed to do? No. Just somewhere along the line, my heart changed so radically that I yearned to pay for his lunch. Why? Not because of any rebuke or reproof, but because of his consistent example. It changed my heart. Now watch this. You know why we give? Here's what 1 John 4:19 says. We love because he first loved us. Let me ask you this question. How many times did Jesus pay for your lunch? How many times has he given you his grace and forgiveness when we deserved it not? How many times has he given us a second chance, a third chance? 70 times? 80 times? Maybe something like 10,000 times. Does God demand that we pay it all back? He never has, never will. Jesus will continue to give. Can we pay it back? Not on your life. Then what's his goal for consistently giving to us? That somewhere along the line, our hearts change. Not for what we can get, but for what we can become, just like him. So that one day we have his heart for the world. We give because he first gave to us. And when he consistently gives, and then he sees our hearts here start to change, not for what we can get, but for what we can become. Then God says to heaven, open up the windows. This church is ready for true riches. I can entrust it to them because their heart is just like the Father's heart. Amen. Would you thank him with a clap offering? Go ahead. And we all.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled A Life Essential Giving. Thank you for listening. And worship Jesus, for he is the love, he is the love, unfailing love, unfailing love, he is the love of God. Oh,
somebody a hug on your way out.
Listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.